ಮುಕ್ತಿ ಚಂದಿರೋ ಮುಕ್ತಿ ಚಂದಿರೋ ಯಶರನಂದನ ಗಜ ಶರಣಂದನ ಗಜನ ಜನ ಜಮಿನ ಚೀರ ಬನ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ನಮ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಸದ ಕರ
ಸ್ವಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪಾವ ಚಕ್ರಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟಚಾರ ಸತ್ಯ ಶಿಷ್ಯ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇನಾಥ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪಾವ ಚಕ್ರಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟಚಾರ ಸತ್ಯ ಶಿಷ್ಯ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸನತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಚಕ್ರ ಕೀ ನಾಟ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಂದ್ರ ಕೀ ನಮಚಾರ್ಯ ಹರಿದಾಸ ಠಾಕುರ ಕೀ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರಭು ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೇತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭುಚನಂದ ಶಿರ್ವೈಟಿಕ ರಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸ್ತದ ಗೌರವ ಭಕ್ತಗಂಗ All glory is the Son of the devotees. All glory is the Son of the devotees. All glory is the Son of the devotees.
Namangana-tirandhisya-kanangana-sarakaya-chakshi-vinmaritam-yena Tasma-shi-guru-ve-manaha Shichetam-yena-vishtam-stapitam-yena-bhute ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕರಮಯಂಗರಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವಪರಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುಠ ಪರಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಂಶ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಹಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗ್ನಗ್ನಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಹಜುತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪರಂ ಸಹಗನಿತ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಕಂ ವಿಷಂಶ್ಚ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
Panchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 19. Tadarshana lada pari patantaro.
Tadarshana lada pari patantaro.
Rishatama prema barasha. Lochana.
Nanamu
tarambujam asya vishasrik. Yad paramahamsena pashta digamyate. Tadarshana lada pari plutantaro. Vishyatama prema barashra lochana.
Vishyatama prema
barashra lochana. Namana parambuja masya vishyasrik. Yad paramahamsena patadi gamyate. Tadarshana lada pari pritantaro. Vishatama prema barashra lochana. Namama parambujana sa vishasri. Yad paramahamsena padadikam yate. Tadarshana lada pari pritantaro. Vishyatama prema barashra lochana. Nanama padam bhujam asya vishasri. Yad paramahamsena patadi gamyate. Tadarshana lada pari pritantaro. Visyatana prema barashra lochana. Nanama padam bhujam asya vishasri. Yad paramahamsena patadi gamyate. Tadarshana lada pari pritantaro. Vishyatama prema barashra lochana. Nanama padam bhujam asya vishasri. Yad paramahamsena patadi gamyate. Tadarshana lada pari pritantaro. Vishyatama prema barashra lochana. Nanama padam bhujam asya vishasri. Yad paramahamsena patadi gamyate.
Tadarshana
Tadarshana Lara Pariputam Toro Vishatani Prema Varashalochana Nanama Paramba Yamasya Vishwasya Yatpana Hamsena Patari Gamyate Yatarshana Lara Pari Pritantara Vishatana Prema Vashalachana Nanama Parambhajanasya Vishwasya Yatpana Hamsena Patari Gamyate. Word for word taught by the audience of the Lord. Darshan, audience. Alara, joy. Paripluta, overwhelmed. Anchara, within the heart. Rishat, full in ecstasy. Tanu, body. Prema Bhava, in full transcendental love. Ashra, tears. Lochana, in the eyes. Nanama, bowed down. Pada Ambujam, under the lotus feet. Asya, of the Lord. Vishashik, the creator of the universe. Yat, which. Parhamsena, by the great liberated soul. Pata, the path. Adigamyate is followed. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma, the same personality of Godhead in his fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within his heart. And thus he, in full transcendental love and ecstasy, his eyes filled with tears of love, he thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being, Paramahamsa. Please repeat, Lord Brahma,
Lord Brahma,
thus seeing the personality of Godhead in his fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within his heart. And thus, in full transcendental love and ecstasy, his eyes filled with tears of love, he thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being. Paramahamsa. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. So, this is pretty amazing when someone sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how they react to seeing the Lord. How many people here have ever cried tears of joy? They've been so happy. Okay, so there's some. Yeah, it comes a lot less frequently, tears of joy, than, you know, tears from suffering. But, you know, this is what we're hoping for at some point in our devotional life, is that we will be so, we'll see the Supreme Person of Godhead, and we'll be so overwhelmed that we'll cry tears of joy. So let's just read here. I'm not going to read the whole purport, just half of it. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the great literature is meant for the Paramahamsas, Parma Niratsaranam Satam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for persons completely free from malice. So that word malice, what does that word malice mean? Who can say what that word means? Malice. If you're feeling malice towards someone, what are you feeling? I know some of you know. What? I can't hear you.
Hate.
Yeah, that's right. Hate. Bad feelings, right? Envy, maybe anger. And if you look at words that start, what are some of the words that start with mal? Can you think of any other words that start with mal? Malicious. Okay, that's a great one. Yes. Malnourished. Okay, good. Yes.
Malfunction,
right. That's right. And all these prefixes of mal, it all means like malfunction, doesn't function, or malicious, you know. Again, bad attitude, or malignant, you know. Someone has a tumor, oh no, it's malignant, means it's cancerous, or whereas if it's benign, then it's not. So Prabhupada's mentioning here that it's meant for people completely free from malice. So if you never have any feelings of anger or envy, then you're on the right track. You know, we don't want to have those feelings towards anyone, what to speak of, you know, our family or our friends or really anyone. I'm going to tell you a story about someone who didn't have any malice, that he was able to serve everyone because he could see Krishna in everyone's heart, no matter who it was. So think about that. Even someone who might be, you know, the lowest class person, prisoner, murderer, but the pure devotee can see through all those layers, all those coverings, and he can see Krishna in the heart, like Srila Prabhupada, right? He could come to the West, and even though so much nonsense goes on, he could see the Krishna inside of every one of his devotees' hearts, and he was able to fan that, and they were able to purify themselves. In the conditioned life, the malicious life begins from the top, namely, bearing malice against the Supreme Person of Godhead. So that's where it starts. You're in the spiritual world, you're with Krishna, and then all of a sudden you're like, how come he's getting all the attention? You know, how come everybody's serving him? Why can't I be served like that? And boom. You know, it's just your own desire, and it brings you right here to the material world. The personality of Godhead is an established fact in all the revealed scriptures, and in the Bhagavad Gita, the personal feature of the Supreme Lord is especially mentioned, so much so that the last portion of the great literature has emphatically stressed that one should surrender under the personality of Godhead to be saved from the miseries of life. So you probably know that verse. You can say it with me if you want. Sarva dharma pritya jam mamikam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva pabibhyo moksha samimasu chahave. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. You know, I'll give you all protection and save you from all fear. Unfortunately, persons with impious backgrounds do not believe in the personality of Godhead, and everyone wants to become God himself without any qualification. The malicious nature, there's that word again, malicious, in the conditioned soul, continues even up to the stage when a person wants to be one with the Lord, and thus, even the greatest of the empiric philosophers speculated on becoming one with the Supreme Lord cannot become a Paramahamsa because the malicious mind is there. So we're always fighting against this malicious mind. Once when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet and they didn't have Bhagavad Gita as it is yet, so they were reading a translation, it was like by someone named Radhakrishna. Even though the purports weren't very much in line, the translations were pretty accurate. So Prabhupada, they were using that. So Kirtananda had been reading that translation, and Srila Prabhupada asked him, you know, well, what do you think of the book? And he's like, oh, I think it's pretty good. And he repeated a verse that really kind of emphasized impersonalism. And Prabhupada took his hand and he put it down like this, and he was like, Krishna is a person. Krishna is a person. Krishna is a person. You know, it's easy to be very complacent about an energy. You know, that God is an energy. If God is an energy, okay, you can pretty much do whatever you want. You know, there's not really any restrictions on that. But Krishna, if he's a person, which he is, and he has desires and he has expectations from all of us, then that puts a little bit more responsibility on ourselves. So people who don't want any responsibility, yes? What? He is a person, right? Well, yeah, we call him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? But he's not a person like us. That's what you mean, right? Yeah, because he's a total spiritual person, Satchidananda. You know, bliss, eternal, and knowledge. That was a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Very nice. Okay. The Bhakti Yoga begins if a person has the firm conviction that simply discharging devotional service to the Lord in full transcendental love can elevate him to the highest perfectional stage of life. Brahmaji believed in the art of bhakti yoga. And here's Lord Brahma. He's curious, completely dark. Can you imagine? Just being in the dark all by yourself sometimes is kind of unnerving. So he's there in the dark, and he doesn't know what to do. He's the first person, so he's just like confused, like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And then he hears the words, ta-pa. And what does that mean, ta-pa? It means austerities. It means penances. You know, there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Bokdram Yagda Tapasam Savaloka Maheshram Suhidam Savabhutinam Yanamam Shantamrichtati, that the sage is knowing that Krishna, he's the goal of all penance, sacrifice, and austerities. And he's the master of all the planets and all the demigods. And he's the ever-well-wisher and best friend of every living entity. So no matter who you are and where you're at in your life, Krishna is a best friend. Okay. So he believed in the instruction of the Lord in executing tapa, and he discharged the function with great penance, and thus achieved the great success of seeing the Vaikuntha Lokas and the Lord also by personal experience. So can you imagine that Lord Krishna gives him the ability to see the entire spiritual world with the spiritual airplanes, with the ladies who looked like lightning. Their beauty was so incredible. So he was able to see all that. You know, Krishna can give his devotees the ability to see so much, just like Valmiki, who wrote the whole Ramayana. He was given the ability to see all the pastimes of Lord Ram, and he was asked to write the Ramayana, so all those pastimes. And he got the benediction that whatever he said, it would be fact, it would be true, it wouldn't be covered by the four material defects. So that was one person who got that. Another person who got that kind of a benediction, just like Vyas, the benediction of writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it may be that you don't have so much ability. You might think, oh, you know, I could never do anything like that, or I could never be a Paramahamsa. But the truth is that everyone can be, you know, just by following these kinds of instructions. No one can reach the abode of the Supreme Lord by any mechanical means of the mind or machine, but one can reach the abode of Vaikuntha Lokas simply by following the process of Bhakti Yoga, because the Lord can be realized only through the Bhakti Yoga process. Lord Brahmaji was actually sitting on the lotus seat, and from there, by executing the process of bhakti yoga in great seriousness, he could see the Vaikuntha Lokas with all variegatedness, as well as the Lord in person and his associates. So, also, someone we know well, and we've talked about before, Dhruva Maharaj. And when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord in front of him, it says he was greatly agitated, but not agitated in a bad way, and offered him obeisances and respect. He fell flat before Krishna like a rod and became absorbed in love of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj, in ecstasy, looked upon the Lord as if he was drinking the Lord with his eyes, kissing the lotus feet of the Lord with his mouth, and embracing the Lord with his arms. So, you know, after meditating on Krishna for so long, Dhruva, who had gone to the forest because of, you know, malicious stepmother, basically, when his meditation broke and he woke up, then he saw Krishna right in front of him, and he thought, now that I've seen Krishna, there's nothing else that I want. So another person who saw Krishna was Prajapati Daksha, and he saw him in Agamarshana, and it says that the Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier Garuda, on his bird carrier. He held a disc, conch shell, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and club. In each hand a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. His garments were yellow and his bodily hue deep bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful, and from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. So just like, and so we have a long garland of flowers every day on Krishna, our deity. On his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks. All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Thus decorated by various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all the living entities of the three worlds, and is known as Purushottama, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narada, Nanda, and all the principal demigods, led by the heavenly king Indra and the residents of various upper planetary systems. So this is all well and good that these great devotees get the audience of Krishna. But we have to think, well, how can that happen with ourselves? You know, how, practically speaking, can that happen? So I was reading the pastime of Maharaj Ambarish, and Maharaj Ambarish, you know, was famous for following all the nine processes of devotional service. What's one of the processes of devotional service? You can just call it out. Shravanam. Kirtanam. Yes. There you go. And you can even say it in English, too, if you want. You know, hearing, chanting, remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, offering him respectful worship, offering him prayers, becoming his servant, considering him your best friend. Krishna is our best friend, but we just don't realize it. So anyway, Maharaj Ambarish, he had been fasting for quite a while, well, every Kadasi especially, for a whole year, not even drinking any water on those days. So the time came for him to break his fast, and you know how it is, even we fast all day in Janmashtami, when it comes time for the feast, everyone's in line, everyone's ready for it. So he was ready to break his fast. The time was coming when Durvasa Muni showed up, and he knew the etiquette is if someone shows up at your house, you should offer them seed, offer them prasadam. So he offered that. But Durvasa Muni said, first I'm going to go bathe, and then I'll come back. So while he was at the river bathing, is that the time for Maharaj Ambarish to break his fast came, and he didn't know what to do because he knew he wasn't supposed to break it until Durvasa Muni came back. So he consulted with his brahmanas, and the brahmanas said, you can drink some water. That way, you're breaking the fast and not breaking the fast at the same time. So he took the advice, he drank some water, because that's part of the vow of the fasting, the austerity, is you do things at a certain time. So when Durvasa Muni came back, because he was very exalted in mystic power. He wasn't a devotee of Krishna, but he was very exalted in mystic power. So he knew that Maharaj Ambarish had broken the fast untimely. And he was so angry, as many of those kinds of sages become, he tore out part of his hair, he threw it down, he created this huge demon and set it on Maharaj Ambarish. However, what happened is, because Krishna is his best friend, Krishna immediately took his Sudarshan chakra and he threw it towards Durvasa Muni, and it began to chase him. And Durvasa Muni, he could feel the heat, and he was traveling everywhere. You know, he went to planet of Lord Shiva and the planet of Lord Brahma, and he's trying to get some relief. He's trying, you know, I committed offense against Maharaj Ambarish, and but can you please save me? And they're like, we can't help you in this case. I'm sorry. Lord Shiva said, I can't help you. Lord Brahma said, I can't help you. So he had such power, he was actually able to go to Vaikuntha and bow down to the feet of Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan, I know you can save me. And Lord Narayan says, no, actually, he says, I'm not independent. I'm totally dependent on my devotees. So if you want relief, you have to go to Maharaj Ambarish. So he does. He travels as quickly as he can with the Sudarshan right behind him. He can feel the heat, and he is terrified. He bows down in front of Maharaj Ambarish. He's offering prayers, and Maharaj Ambarish, because he's a devotee, he doesn't take offense. He took no offense, even though basically tried to kill him by throwing out this Sudarshan. So he completely forgives Durvasa Muni. No worries. You don't have to worry that the Sudarshan, you know, withdraws his heat and his power. And so Durvasa Muni is pretty amazed. He's pretty amazed. He's amazed, first of all, at the power of Krishna's devotee, that he's more powerful than Lord Shiva. He's more powerful than Lord Brahma. And why is it that Maharaj Ambarish is more powerful than those demigods? Does anybody know why? Why is it? Yes. Because he's a devotee, right. And the devotees have what for Krishna? They have love, right. And Krishna is controlled by that love of his devotees. And he's always there for you. You may experience in your own life. Maybe you're in a difficult situation, or maybe you're very upset about something. I don't know if I ever told the story about your father, Purushottama Raghunath, when he was in my class many years ago. And he was always so cheerful, but the one day he came to the classroom and it looked like steam was coming out of his ears. He was so mad, you know. I was like, Raghunath, you know, what's wrong? He said, my father was supposed to come back tomorrow, but now he's not coming back for, it was like another week or two, and he loved his dad, and he wanted his father to come back the next day. And so I said, gosh, Raghunath, I'm so sorry. He said, but we're going to chant japa now, so I want you just to really focus in on the japa, just really hear Krishna's name, and see how that works. So we chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Just like you do every day when you're chanting. And the end of it, I said, so Raghunath, he goes, Mother Sukhana, it worked. Like all his anger and frustration had completely dissipated. So we have the solution to so many of our problems. It's just that we have to take shelter of that, right? We have to chant with feeling. We have to chant with, what did you say again? We have to chant with?
Love.
That's right. We have to chant with love. And as we chant with that love, then Krishna reciprocates. Teshmi satana yuktanam vachtam pradipur vakam didami buddhiyogam tam yena mamapyanta te, that, you know, who does are constantly worshiping with love, I give them the understanding where they can come to me. So if we might say, oh, I want to go back to Godhead. I really want to go back to Godhead. But if we're not really chanting with love, we're not really serious about it, you think Krishna's really going to believe us? Maybe not. Maybe not so much. So, you know, it's something we can work on. You know, generally people in the material world, you know, at some point in human life, in some birth, you want to ask the question like, why am I here? Why am I suffering? You know, what is this world all about? You know, what is this birth, death, disease, and old age? What is it all about? And what about God and who is he? So when someone asks these kind of questions, then you start to get answers. And one of the ways is called sambhana. That's when you understand there's a God and you have a relationship with God. But then after you know you have a relationship, if you have a relationship with somebody, what is something you might do? Let's say you have a friend. What's something you might do for a friend? Anything. What might you do? Yeah. You might cheer them up when they're feeling sad. Yeah. Yes. What? Oh, yeah. Okay, you buy them something. So, you know, pacham pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta parashati. You know, if we offer Krishna with love, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, then he'll accept it. So again, this idea of love comes up, that we want to be able to offer everything we do with love. So, and then, so that's called abhideya. When we start serving the Lord, we start serving Krishna, and ultimately that ends up with prayojan, or pure love of God, which is where we're all headed, you know? On a timeline from here to here, at least we're on the timeline, because until you're in a human birth, you can't, except on very rare exceptions, you know, you're not really making any progress along the path, but you're already in the timeline. In fact, you're so much on the timeline because you were born devotees, you were on the timeline even last birth. So you really got quite a head start. So this is the idea. Now, there's a story of a great king. His name was Rantidev. And Rantidev was very beloved by all his constituents, all the people in his kingdom. And he had also been on a fast. And devotees, they like to perform penances and austerities to increase their love for God. So he was on a fasting for like 48 days, and he was getting ready to break his fast. Someone had brought him you know, a whole table full of prasadam. So, you know, you can imagine he was ready for it when a Brahmin guest arrived. So, being the king and great devotee that he is, he shared the prasadam with the Brahmin guest. He just divided it in half and said, please have some. So again, he's ready to take prasadam, when all of a sudden, a sudra arrives, and he arrived with all of his, a bunch of dogs, and he was like, oh, you know, King Rajadeva, we're so hungry, my dogs and I, you know, please help us. So the beauty of Rajadeva, we're talking about how a pure devotee has the ability to see Krishna in everyone's heart. So even though they're dogs, and even though he's a sudra, he could see Krishna with his heart, so he said, of course. So then he shared his prasadam with all of them. And there was actually none left after that. And so he still had a glass of water, though. So he took the glass of water, getting ready to drink it, and up came a chandala, you know, a dog eater, who considered like to be a very low-class person. But did Rajadeva see it that way, that he was a low-class person? No, he just thought Krishna in his heart. So he gave him his glass of water, and he drank that glass of water. And this is what King Rajadeva, actually, what happened when he had given everything away, the Brahmin guest showed himself as Lord Brahma, and the Sudra showed himself as Lord Shiva, and the Chandra also as a great demigod. So they were just testing him. They were testing him to see about his devotion. But he totally passed the test, and this is what he said. He said, I do not pray to the Supreme Person of Godhead for a perfection of mystic yoga or for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among living entities and suffer distresses on their behalf so they may be freed from suffering by offering my water to this poor chandala who is struggling to live. I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling, moroseness, distress, lamentation, and illusion. So whenever we perform an austerity for Krishna, you know, it may be seen like we're giving something up, but actually we're getting so much. And you may have experienced, maybe on Gaur Purnim or Janmashtami, I know in Gaur Purnim that Krishna Sharanam, you decorate your whole room up beautifully, so beautifully that one of your students who couldn't come to the school anymore because of where she lived or financial, I don't really know what the reasons are, she came here on that day just to see how the room was decorated. So that's an austerity to, you know, collect everything you need and decorate the room. But did it feel like an austerity? Not so much, right? It's kind of fun to do that. So that's a devotee too, is that they get so enlivened by serving Krishna that it doesn't feel difficult. And that way Krishna becomes very indebted to his servants. You know, we've seen that so many times, like with Krishna and Arjuna, right? That Arjuna's on the battlefield and he feels like Krishna is his very good friend, so Krishna becomes his chariot driver. Arjuna says, all right, Krishna, I want to see, bring me to the battlefield. And there they go with the flag flying, with Hanuman on the flag, and they go into the middle of the battlefield, and Arjuna is looking at all the war-minded warriors on the battlefield. So, you know, God became his chariot driver. Or we also see when Draupadi was suffering so much because they were trying to ridicule her in the assembly by taking off her sari. And all that happened is that Krishna just kept on plying. So there was like three piles of shimmering gold and silver, you know, bright, every color in the rainbow cloth. And even though Duryodhana and Dushyant had made this heinous plan, it didn't come to fruition because Krishna was there to protect his devotee. Now somebody might say, well, yeah, but you know, look at Gandharvika and look at Gaurasundara. Well, Gandharvika, the artist, you know, was so beautifully decorated the deities on every festival, and with Hari Puja helped to plan all the outfits, such beautiful outfits, you know, and they even flew her to different places. to decorate, the, you know, paint the deities, and when some of the paint starts peeling off. So, but she died, you know, how is Krishna protecting her? So how, can anybody answer that? Does that seem fair? How is Krishna protecting Gaurasundara, very beloved disciple from the very beginning? Can anybody answer that? Anybody in the back? Yes. That's right.
But protection is there. We just can't see it.
Right. It's like Gandharvik will go from decorating the deities here and serving the deities to just going on to continue with her service. You know, in the next life. I once heard a story about a devotee, who's Madhusudana, and this was in Los Angeles, and he was very, very ill. You know, sitting in a wheelchair and hardly able, not able to walk anymore. So, but he was very devoted to Rathiatra. And so he wanted to go to Rathiatra one more time. And so he went. They pushed him in the wheelchair. He was there for the whole parade. And when he got back, he was very exhausted. So his caretaker went to get him some water. And when he came back, when the caretaker came back, Madhusudana said, "My gosh, there's so many people in the room. And they've got so many different kinds of prasadam." And they really went to get the water. They couldn't see anything. So she's like, "What?" And very shortly after that, Madhusudana passed away. So they were already welcoming him to the spiritual world. They were already ready to receive him as he left. So death isn't necessarily something bad. It's something bad for the people who are left behind, just like with the, you know, the six Goswamis, or, you know, when Lord Chaitanya left, you know, just felt like beating their head against the rocks because they're feeling such separation. So that's there. Even I was talking with Mother Gaya, who just lost her husband, Gaurasundara, after being married for 50 years. And so very intense feelings of separation. But at the same time, Krishna is still there for her, and he'll be still working in so many ways to help her along in her spiritual life. So Krishna's amazing that way. He had two servants. Their names were Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. And Shrutadeva was so poor, they hardly had enough to eat. And King Bahulashva, he had so much of everything because he's a king, but he wasn't attached to it at all. But what they had in common is that they were both servants of Lord Krishna, completely dedicated, and they had the deity in their home that they served regularly. But they could never go to Dwarka to visit Krishna because they lived in Mathila, and they were too committed to serving their deity, so they couldn't leave. So Krishna realized, because he's in their heart, how much they wanted his darshan, so he traveled to Mathila. And after the darshan, Shrutadeva and Bhavasha, they went up to Krishna and they asked, "Can you come to my house for prasadam? Can you come?" Krishna said, "Sure." So what he did to satisfy both of them is he just expanded himself into two, went to both of their houses, benedicted them, you know, accepted service from them, and served them. So Krishna's always ready to serve his devotee. If that's what we want, because really it's all about desire. You know, I'll just tell this one more story because I know it's getting late for you. But Vasudev Dutt, this is the devotee during the time of Lord Chaitanya, and Vasudev Dutt was so merciful that he went to Lord Chaitanya and he said to Lord Chaitanya, "I'm so sorry for all the living entities that are suffering in this world. I'm so sorry that I want to ask a benediction from you." You know, usually devotees don't ask benedictions, but he asked for a benediction. He said, can I please take all the sinful reaction from all the living entities in the universe on my head, and can I suffer all the sinful reactions so they can become free. Lord Chaitanya was like, wow. He was shocked. And he said, you know, Vasudev, Tata, he said, just because you want it, just because you're willing it, yes, this is going to happen. All these living entities are going to be freed from all their sinful reaction. But because you're such a dear devotee of mine, of Lord Chaitanya, I will not let you feel all the effects of their sinful activity. So that's something else that's interesting, that just like with Srila Prabhupada, on the order of his spiritual master, he came, and he was able to start this whole movement. And he didn't know what would happen when he came to the West with $7 in his pocket and a free steamship ride and a place to stay, a sponsor when he came over. He had no idea what would happen, but he had faith in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So even if you become a pure devotee of Krishna, if you can become a devotee of a devotee, that's just as good. How many people came to the Saturday program for Jayapataka Maharaj this last Saturday? Anybody come? Some of you came. So it's really wonderful because it's such a great example. I mean, the feast is always amazing. Even though I'd been sick for the week before, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I'll be able to. And I was able to. I got better just for that. But a wonderful feast. And the beauty of it, too, is you saw all these devotees of devotees. So it was appropriate disciples who knew Jayapataka Maharaj very well. And then you had other people like, you know, Jagannath and Mukhi, you know, who were devotees of devotees. And such bliss, right, Jagannath Prabhu? Such mercy, such bliss. Just serving the devotees. So whenever you're feeling depressed or, you know, not very happy or ecstatic, there's a few things you can do. One of the things is chant better, chant with love. The other thing you can do is serve the devotees. This is just like if you have a terrible headache or you've got some kind of bacteria, some virus, you might go to the pharmacy and they write a prescription for you. Oh, you know, take 2 antibiotics, you know, twice a day for a week, and then, you know, it'll be gone, the bacteria will be gone. So a recipe for when you're not feeling very enlivened in emotional service, you're not feeling very well, if you chant with love, you know, you start really chanting with love, and if you serve the devotees, this is the prescription, and it will, just like with Purushottama's father, Raghunath, he followed the prescription, and he was cured of his anger. Because Kama Asia Krota Asia, Raja Guru Samudhavan Mahashano Mahapatman Vidyam Iva Varyam, that he was lost only Arjuna, born in contact with the material modes of, you know, portals of nature. It's all devouring sinful enemy of this world. So we want to become free from all the miseries of this world, and we know how to do it. So thank you so much for kind attention. Is everybody have a comment or a question or a reflection? Maybe you heard something that resonated with you. Just share it. Shagunath, I know there's something. Yeah. Picking on you.
Thank you, Mother Sukadev. I was just thinking, right before you called my name, sometimes we feel malnourished, and we're feeling we're not functioning, we're malfunctioning. But after such a wonderful class, we feel nourished.
Oh, thank you very much. Really, really nice. Okay, anybody else have a reflection or a comment, something they want to add, you know, about pure devotee and how the pure devotees serve? You know, we saw Prabhupada with so much mercy that he received. But he never took any credit. That's one thing that Peter, they don't take credit for what they do. He would thank us. He would say, thank you so much for helping me push on this movement. Or he would give all the credit to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So that's the humility. And we want to be able to develop these qualities of devotee. You know, humility and friendliness. You know, sometimes devotees can be downright unfriendly. You know, I've experienced it. You know, but why? You know, it says if you If you're not happy about when you see a devotee and thinking, oh, not him, oh, no, not her, I remember when she said this to me, I remember when he did this to me, then it's kind of offensive, because those are what they call spots on the moon. You know, the moon's big, beautiful, but there might be a little spot on it. But why do you want to pick on the spot? You know, you want to pick out the glories. So you are all wonderful devotees. You're all on your way back to Godhead. And please give me your blessings and Hare Krishna. Thank you for